This week on Free Association, our expert Dave Bush will tell us how to use music in order to decrease our suffering and increase our healing. We'll hear from some students about how music has helped them. And our medical expert, Dr. Brian Labor, will talk about how music can impact the body. I'm Katie Labor, and this is Free Association. So I just want to welcome Dr. Dave Bush. He is the director of CAPS, which is the counseling center on campus. In addition to that, he is also an accomplished musician and composer, having spent how many years in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir?
About 11 years.
Oh my gosh, that's no joke. As well as accomplished composer. So today our plan is we're going to talk about music. What makes music so powerful and so healing? And how can folks use music in order to develop and grow in new ways from things that feel painful for them? So to start out, how did you become interested in music as a form of healing?
My first experience was kind of a personal experience, finding real solace going in at night and just playing whatever I felt on the piano at night. We have what we call our sacred room that has all of our instruments in it. And it's a place we go that we don't allow the grandkids to bring toys or food. And that's the room that I go to almost every night. Usually right before I go to bed, I just go in and just play my thoughts and feelings of the day.
Yeah, I always think that's so fascinating because I also grew up as a musician. I always felt that music was always able to capture those thoughts and feelings that I could speak, but it would never come out the same way as it would when I heard it in a song or played it myself.
Agreed. And I think that music for me has been associated with those really sacred moments in terms of religious rituals, mm-hmm. The music at a baptism or the music at a funeral is usually really meaningful.
Yeah, it's interesting. It kind of reminds me of how scent can trigger memory. Mm-hmm. And then kind of in my head, I go back and forth about what is so unique about music compared to like visual art, dance, or architecture. Like what makes it so powerful and so sacred?
I think it touches our soul. I remember one performance in the Tabernacle Choir. We were scheduled for a concert. And to be honest, I don't even remember what the music was that we had prepared. But it was on 9/11. And so literally, the day of the concert, the program was entirely changed. We set aside all of the music that we had prepared for that evening. And fortunately, the members of the Tabernacle Choir are pretty good sight readers.
I expect so.
And so Craig put together a completely different program mm-hmm. for that evening so that we could share not just patriotic music, although that mm-hmm. was the bulk of it, but music that was hopeful and inspiring despite this awful tragedy that was rocking the nation at that time.
Yeah. I really like that because it makes me think about how music, unlike other forms of art, has this flexibility. You know, you're able to adapt music to the tragedies and the feelings in your life in order to have it be meaningful. And because other forms of art, while beautiful and powerful in their own way, I mean, most of them are permanent in some way, except for maybe dance, because that's mm-hmm. movement, but mm-hmm. that also has music mm-hmm. to it. Mm-hmm. So I think that really makes me think about how it's so flexible. So, you know, speaking of the types of ways that folks can use music to enhance their experience, like what sort of issues and problems do you see music as having the potential to address?
There's the classic examples like Rocky, where somebody is trying to prepare for some performance. And so, you know, playing that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- confidence and allows us to maybe persevere. And so different athletes will have different playlists, or even just, you know, your person that's out running their half marathon or their marathon, many times they've got a playlist for their practice runs, but even while they're running in the event itself, that music keeps them going when their body might want to shut down. And yeah. So I think it gives us a little extra boost at times, and not just for physical events, but sometimes I think to face other challenges as well, emotional mm-hmm. challenges. And sometimes we like to listen to sappy country music. Mm-hmm. You know, she stomped all over my heart. She smashed that sucker flat. She just sort of stepped yeah. on my aorta. And the lyrics are as funny as the music itself. But we find, I think, expression mm-hmm. that mirrors what we're experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that because on one hand, it makes me think of state-dependent learning, mm-hmm. like with performance of mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, of course, if you have a piece of music that's associated with a high level of performance, then absolutely it's going to be easier to make it through, you know, your 23rd mile of a marathon. But also that piece of being able to use music regardless of what it is in order to like feel your feelings. Because I feel like so often, especially in our society, there's so much that goes unfelt because mm-hmm. people are so afraid to feel those things.
Or unexpressed. Mm-hmm. I've had several clients who sometimes when I'll ask a question in therapy, unable to articulate their feelings. And mm-hmm. one in particular who will go to my computer, go to YouTube, and yeah. and then play a piece of music. And not only the lyrics, but the notes help me to understand what mm-hmm. this client is feeling that they can't express.
Let's take a quick break and switch to Hearing from USU, a segment dedicated to understanding the student experience. This episode, students talk about their experiences with music.
Music to me is honestly the only thing that's gotten me as far as I have in life, because a good example is when I was a sophomore in college, I had my best friend commit suicide, and the only reason I made it through that was because of Blue Oyster Cult and their fantastic rock and roll and reggae music, because it's positive vibrations.
Music to me is super important because earlier this May, I ended up having to go to a hospital because I tried to commit suicide. So without music, you know, I probably wouldn't have been able to get through that recovery. And just listening to specific bands and the positive, uplifting messages and knowing that, you know, there's been a point in time where they were at that same place. It's nice just to realize that they had the strength to keep going, so you can too.
So music for me has been a huge playing piece in my life, just because, I mean, usually if you look at me, I'm the kind of person that you usually see, and I'm really happy, smiling all the time, and that's usually what I am. But what a lot of the times inside, I'm a thinker, I overthink a lot of things, and I stress out about a lot of things. But with all of those dark times and with all of those struggles and trials that I've had, music has actually been the number one thing that has pulled me through every single one of those circumstances. I don't exactly know what it is about music that cheers up the human soul, but I know that it is something there, and it will increase your livelihood and make you a happier person.
So one of the things that we've talked about so far is really understanding what is unique about music. And one thing that I want to focus on is what makes music powerful and how can we use it? So I'm wondering what you think is the most powerful kind of music when it comes to healing.
Probably two features of healing music. Rhythm has such a significant impact from the time we're infants. We rock babies, and some of the literature on rocking babies has made a science of the angle and the pace, and too vigorous, it's not very soothing. Maybe not quite vigorous enough, it's not as soothing. But once we get in a pattern that seems to resonate with our heartbeat and our breathing, it makes a difference. I also love the literature that shows that when you can match someone's breathing, mm-hmm. they feel a sense of empathy and concern. So surely if we can breathe together or move together, then the type of music we listen to can excite us or calm us, soothe us or even heal us.
Yeah. The thing I like about that is it reminds me of how powerful live music is, and you can tell those concerts where everyone seems to be moving with the music and how powerful that can be. So what other than rhythm makes music?
So I think in addition to being in sync with one another, music conveys some emotion, and not just the lyrics, but the tone of music. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting from culture to culture, how some cultures find some tone soothing and other folks outside that culture find the tones jarring. And so you think of maybe some of the difference between music in India mm-hmm. versus music in the United States or other countries. And it's fascinating to me, the instruments we use and the tone quality of those instruments. Mm-hmm. So for me, cello is kind of in the perfect range. I love to listen to cello music, and some harp music is very soothing. So those scale patterns can mm-hmm. put us in, I think, a somber mood if we need to be thoughtful and deliberate, and can facilitate some sense of understanding or healing.
I'm wondering, you know, there's so much variation in lyrical content across all music styles, and there is some evidence that suggests that listening to, like, pro-social music, music that focuses on, like, being your own best self or doing things for others, tends to increase positive thoughts and empathy. And sometimes I wonder how much the lyrical content matters in terms of what we get from music, in terms of its potential to heal.
What I was going in for my first treatment, after I'd been diagnosed with leukemia, I had a client that had made a mix, mm-hmm. and I hadn't listened to it before. And so as I was driving to the cancer treatment center, track 3 came up, and it was Glee's version of Smile. And I can't even begin to describe for you what that did for me. Mm-hmm. First, I think because it came as such a surprise. And I was nervous. I had no idea what to expect. And so I was afraid. And all of a sudden, this song comes in. Smile when your heart is breaking. Smile when your heart is aching. It made me smile. I despite myself. And pretty soon I was singing along and I played the track again. And it was kind of inspiring and uplifting and encouraging. In the face of kind of the unknown.
This is The Medicine Behind It, a segment that discusses the physiology and medical science behind various mental health topics. I'm Dr. Brian Labor. Music seems to have a few different physiological effects on us. It can slow heart rate, lower blood pressure, and reduce the levels of stress hormones. Some studies have also found that it can provide some relief to heart attack and stroke victims, as well as newborns in the ICU. How does music exert these benefits? Some research thinks that it may promote the brain's ability to make new connections between nerve cells or neurons. I think a better idea is that it may work its magic through rhythms. Humans are very rhythmic beings. Think about how many rhythms are in our body. Our heartbeat, our breathing, and our brain waves are all rhythmic. The human brain and nervous system are hardwired to distinguish music from noise and to respond to rhythm and repetition, tones and tunes. There is some evidence that the music can help with stroke recovery. One study enrolled 60 patients hospitalized for major strokes. 1/3 of the patients listens to recorded music for at least 1 hour a day. another third listened to audiobooks, and the final group did not receive any auditory stimulation. These, of course, were in conjunction with normal stroke care. After 3 months, the group that listened to audiobooks showed about a 20% improvement in verbal memory. However, the group that listened to music showed a 60% improvement in verbal memory. Music therapy is also used to help stroke patients regain their balance and coordination. Think about it. A program built around rhythms naturally helps those who have lost the natural rhythms of walking and day-to-day movements. The medical benefits of music are also seen at the beginning of life. A study performed at Beth Israel Medical Center in New York looked at the effects of three different kinds of music on preterm babies in the neonatal ICU. One group of infants listened to a pre-recorded lullaby selected and sung by their parents. A second group listened to a custom drum built to mimic the sounds of the womb. And a third listened to a gaito box, which is a drum-like instrument that simulates a normal heartbeat. Researchers found that all three types of audio stimulation slowed the baby's heart rate. The babies in the lullaby group stayed quietly alert longer, while those in the womb sounds group experienced enhanced sleep. Lastly, the parents who recorded the lullaby reported lower stress levels than the parents in the other two groups, further evidence of music's healing power.
All right, so this last part, you know, I really want to have a conversation about how students can best apply music into their everyday life to get all of these benefits that we've been talking about, like the wisdom that one can get from a sad song or the increased focus one can get from listening to the right music at the right time. And one thing that I'm often wondering about as someone who's trying to learn more about trauma as a clinician is that one of the things that we've already touched on a little bit is how music can re-trigger emotions. And I'm wondering how folks can make that kind of reigniting process that can happen with music as a source of insight instead of that piece of being flooded.
That's a really good question. And the answer lies in experience. Mm-hmm. In therapy, most weeks I leave clients with a suggestion toward an experiment. And if they're willing to engage in the experiment, then they have a week to collect data, or 2 weeks, and then they come back and they report on their experience. If the music they've been listening to facilitates peace and harmony in their living space, great. If it fosters contention, or if there's a debate about what music to listen to or when to listen to it, whether you should listen to it privately with your earbuds in, or whether you make that music available to everyone in the space, really hinges on, I guess, the ability of the individual to communicate with those around them. And that experiment then either helps them get in touch with themselves and each other, or it maybe gets in the way of the process. And fortunately, if someone is honest with themselves or in counseling with their therapist, there's a chance to explore that.
Yeah, there's that piece of intentionality there that mm-hmm. I so appreciate, because I think sometimes with the way our technology has impacted how we listen to music, it's really easy to hit shuffle, put your earbuds in, and drown the world out. And that piece of intentionally thinking about how music is impacting you, and then also just intentionally deciding when to listen to it and how to use it, I think can really help people harness the power of music. And I guess I'm wondering how else students can incorporate music as a source of healing in their life.
We have technology now that sometimes others make that decision for us. They decide based on what we're listening to, what's going to come up next in the queue. Mm-hmm. And if we trust their judgment, we can either like or dislike the next song. We can delete it from the playlist, or we can include it in our playlist and pay more attention to the energy that we experience from that particular set. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if sometimes we just mindlessly go to Pandora and just hit play. And not think about, well, what genre are we listening to, and how is that influencing us? So whether it's to help us focus when we're studying, mm-hmm. or to help us sleep at night, or to get us energized in the morning, or to create background music when we invite friends over that would facilitate rather than get in the way of communication. And is it instrumental or does it have lyrics? What's the type of music, and what do we hope for?
Curious how you think folks can use music to improve their relationships and connections with others.
I'll just speak to a tradition in our home. When our adult children come back to the home, especially if there's two or three of them, since their voices blend really well, mm-hmm. one of our kind of unspoken traditions is at some point during their 2 or 3 day visit, we will all just go into the music room, and I will just sit at the piano and just start playing some of our old favorites, like Aww. Give Me Wings, mm-hmm. and or Take These Wings. We like songs about soaring. And we know the harmonies and we know the lyrics. And mm-hmm. so if I'm in the room playing, inevitably somebody will start coming in and start singing from Les Mis, or they'll start singing from Phantom or Big yeah. River, you know, mm-hmm. some of the musicals. And less than 2 minutes later, somebody else will make their way in, and pretty soon they're all in the music room.
Yeah.
And we're all singing together. And there's this sense of tradition, mm-hmm. This sense of connection.
Yeah, creating one's own traditions. I'm also wondering, too, like, how about for folks that are not musically inclined? How can they use music to improve their connection with others?
Even those that are tone deaf or monotone, they can enjoy the talents and gifts of others mm-hmm. if they don't have that unique capacity. Mm-hmm. There's somebody else's gift that they can borrow. And I think that's the beauty of music. As an audience, we yeah. can enjoy the skill that somebody mm-hmm. else brings into the room.
It is really interesting. I think that so often there's kind of a stigma about going to, like, things alone, like going to dinner alone. But I think, you know, concerts are one of the few things that you can go to by yourself and still get that piece of connection, because by virtue of being there, you know everything, you know something about everyone in the room that they have in common with you, and you can still feel connected to the person who's producing the music.
Agreed.
Yeah. So thank you so much for having this conversation with me. It's been a lot of fun.
My pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
I can't say how stoked I am about it. Any last thoughts for folks out there that are listening on the healing power of music?
Keep singing.
Free Association is brought to you by Counseling and Psychological Services, or CAPS, USU's Counseling Center on campus, as well as Aggie Radio, alternative radio for an alternative audience. I'd like to give a huge thank you to Dr. Dave Bush for talking with me today, as well as the students that were willing to share their stories, and Dr. Brian Labor. Thank you for listening to Free Association.